Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Amen. Is everybody alive and well today? You can go ahead and have a seat as we prepare to open up God's Word and see the message that He has for us this morning. Before we do that, isn't it awesome to have Stephon back today? Yeah! You guys don't know this, the past couple weeks he's been out because he just graduated college. Look at this. That is a huge, huge feat, and we want to celebrate with you, man. As your family.
Thank you.
Amen. Right? Just wanted to celebrate that for a few moments. A pretty cool moment. We all know that's a huge, huge time in our lives. And that's our prayer. We hope that this place feels like family. We hope that we walk together. We can continue to get to know each other and walk in community. And if you're joining us maybe for the first time, my name is Daniel Casnay. I'm the lead pastor here at the Bridge Church. And we would love to get to know you. And so, I apologize if Jordan said this earlier, but if there's a connect card in front of you, if you want to fill that out, we'd love to just simply connect with you, get to know you, get to know a simple way to open the line of communication, and that's all that card is. We don't want to make you feel like we're going to hassle you, but we just want to open that line of communication and help you stay connected in and throughout the week and the upcoming dates that may come as well. And so we are in a series called Activate, and I believe God has just been speaking through His Word. In the first 2 weeks, we talked about God's Word and the importance of His Word. And we use this illustration of when a car battery just drops off, and the car is dead, you can't crank it anymore. When you go to charge that car up, you take one of the cables, right, the positive or the negative, you plug that one up, but you also need the second one. And when both are plugged in, that power is received to the car. And so we spent one leg, one spark plug, so to speak, not spark plug, shows you how I know cars right there. One plug goes into one side, and we talk about God's Word, and now we're talking about the second. We're going to transition a little bit into prayer. And so I believe God has a message for us as we dive in. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to have it on the screens for you as well. But I just want to pray for us and ask God just to bless our time, to speak to our hearts, and we'll be ready to roll. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for this morning. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, how He's opened up so many doors for us to have a relationship with you, God. And I just pray that if anybody walked in, and I know that sometimes carrying the weight of this world can be a lot, God. I pray that we can just take the next few moments and take a deep breath and lay that at your feet. And I pray that you will speak to our hearts, God. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase, God. And use me as your vessel to say what you want to say. God, we love you so much. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I want to share just a quick moment. Some of you guys may not have known I've shared that I grew up playing sports, but my mindset all through high school was to play at the next level. Like, I was ready. I was like, okay, my next goal is to play in college, and that was everything I thought about. That engulfed my mind, engulfed my daily life, and towards the end of my senior year, me and my mom went to a couple of college visits, and we were sending out some tapes and all that different stuff because I wasn't that good. I wasn't getting recruited, so, you know, I had to go recruit myself. And so we went going to this one particular college, and I used to drive this golden Ford Ranger. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Ford guy. I'm still sticking with it. I still drive a Ford now. Maybe you're not, but I was driving that old Ford Ranger, and it was a 1994. And for me, that was older. I know that, you know, could be just relevancy there. But 94 Ford Ranger, I love that car. I was driving out. We were going to North Georgia. And as we're driving, my mom's in the passenger seat. My mom was like my sidekick. She was my go-to person. We were headed up to go to this one particular college and for a visit. And all of a sudden, we're driving, and boom! Also, you hear something happen, and I don't know a ton, and the wheels start shaking, and you probably know what happens, right? The tire is blown, and I'm driving. I have to get it over to the lane. I'm on the interstate and the highway, and of course, I'm trying to act like a man. I'm 18. I'm like, Mom, I got this, right? And so I get out of the car, and I'm like, okay, what do you now? You know, like, where's the jack? Where's the spare tire? And this is the first time it's happened. And so I'm like looking behind the seats. I'm like, Mom, I got this. I know what I'm doing. And I'm just searching. Finally find the jack. And it's this, I don't know if you've seen these. It's this weird contraption that's not an actual, like, big jack. It's like you got to connect parts and put things and pipes together. I'm like, I just want to lift the truck up. So I get in there, and I'm hanging. My legs are, like, this far from the line. It's like, right? And I'm just hanging out. And Mom's like, are you sure? Okay. And so we're trying to jack this up. And I don't know what kind of personality you have, but I consider myself a patient person. Until it comes to something mechanical or technology. When my computer's messed up, I'm ready to, like, snap it over my knee. I'm like, come on. It's just something about it. And so, of course, my nerves, I'm just like mad. I'm getting mad at the guy. I'm like, who made this jack, right? Like, I'm just getting mad at everybody. And finally, this really nice man stops on the side of the road. He gets, like, a real man's jack, pulls that thing out. And, of course, it's like, you know, like my little Ford Ranger's all the way in the air. We finally changed the tire. I'm not going to lie, it took me a few minutes to find the spare tire. If you want to know, my Ford Ranger's on the back underneath, hidden there, so hard to see. But back there, finally got it down. And I think about that story. We finally got the spare tire and made it there, made it back. And but I remember getting that spare tire. And the only time you need a spare tire is in that moment of trouble, right? When the tire blows, poof, then you need that spare tire. And there have been many times in my life where I just get busy. I don't know about you, but I just get busy and I get rolling. And then when I have this moment that maybe it's trouble that I realize, I'm like, man, the only time I go before God is in moments of trouble. Or maybe, hey, this week, the only time I thought about praying with God is when I was feeling overwhelmed. And now here's what I want to say. I don't want to say that that is bad. That is amazing to go to God. But God wants this relationship with us, that where we want to go before Him every single day, multiple times a day, to have this relationship with Him. And I believe that sometimes life can be overwhelming. Sometimes we can get maybe even off track. And even in life, I believe that God loves you and I so much that it's incredible to think about that. He wants to hear from us. Not only the times of trouble, but He wants to hear the times of good. He wants to celebrate with us. Like Stephon graduating, that's a celebration moment. And God wants to celebrate with you. And He is a good Father. And so we get this picture because Jesus is our greatest model, and He walked this earth. And we get, especially in the book of Matthew, we see in the Gospels, we get to see Jesus' life as He was walking, as He was talking in His life. And we get this one particular picture of Jesus' life in Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. It says He got up early in the morning. Maybe you're not an early bird. That's okay. Jesus got up early in the morning. And it said it was still dark outside. He went up to the mountain to pray. And as He's coming back down from the mountain, He starts teaching. And His disciples, these guys who are following Jesus, who have grown close to Him, and they noticed that He does this on a regular basis. They noticed that He withdrew to pray and to spend time with His Heavenly Father. And so they stop and they go, hey, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? I mean, that's a great question. I love the disciples because how many times do we have questions? And one of the amazing things we can do in prayer is go before God and ask Him those questions and say, hey, God, how do you want us to pray? God, I need wisdom for this particular moment, this particular thing that has happened in my life. I need discernment. I need to know what to do. And the disciples do that. They say, hey, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? And Jesus, being the good teacher, He steps back, and this is where we pick up here in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 5. Are you guys ready? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Starting in verse 5, it says, and when you pray, Jesus goes in and starts to teach His disciples and teaching us thousands of years later. He says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And I just want to stop there for a few minutes before we get a little further there. And Jesus starts this thing off and He says, hey, look, before, when you think about praying, see, when we read these first pieces and it says, hey, don't be like the hypocrites who stand in the synagogues and they begin to pray these long, boisterous prayers and standing up and repeating all of this. And in our day and time, that may not relate to us because we don't really go to a synagogue. We go to a church, would be the closest thing that we could resemble that to. And it's not usually this big scene where somebody's standing up going, and our Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to hear the mighty fire, and hear these prayers coming, right? And He's saying, hey, just because their words may be elevated, maybe just because they want you to think how smart they are and want you to see how close they are to God by using all these words, He's saying, look, that is amazing if you do that and if you can, but I want your heart to be connected to me first. Don't feel like you have to have all these words pieced together to where people stand around you and hear you pray. They go, ooh, they are spiritual. He is spiritual. She is spiritual. Wow, look how close they are. Because if that is our motive, if that is our gain, then Jesus says, well, there you go. You can have your reward. That's your reward, that men think that about you. But I don't know about you. I want my reward to come from my Heavenly Father. I want my reward to come from the one who can breathe out stars, who created everything in front of us. I want to position my heart to be connected to God. And Jesus is teaching and He's saying, hey, but in fact, when you pray, find a place where it's just you and God. That way you're not tempted to say, hey, you're not tempted to try to put on this show. You're not tempted to say, hey, well, these are the exact things I need to say. And in fact, we just want to have that intimate time with God because He wants that relationship with us. And if you're taking notes here, I'm going to give you a few things, especially as we get a little closer to the end. But God wants a relationship with us. And prayer is a key way to build that relationship. And there's something about when we're in God's Word and we're praying to Him, spending that time with Him, it activates something in our relationship with God. It begins to see, He speaks to our heart and he moves inside of our mind and moves with our conscience and moves with our heart and moves with our mind. And we see this discipleship, this life change begin to happen because we're spending time with our Heavenly Father. Charles Spurgeon says it this way. He was a well-known pastor, and he says, true prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is a spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth. It's a spiritual transaction with our Creator. We're on earth, He's in heaven. We get that amazing spiritual transaction. And then there's something here that it says. Because I love this piece. He says, hey, don't be like that because that's their reward. And then he goes back and says, hey, when you pray to the Father who is unseen, then you will receive your reward. So God says, hey, there is a reward to prayer. That when we pray, there is a reward that happens. There's this exchange where I send my prayers up, and then God sends us a reward for those prayers. And that is a huge motivation for us, that we know that God is saying, hey, I will reward you for the time that you spend in prayer. And here in America, in our Western culture, sometimes we think about reward, right? We're thinking, yes, I'm finally going to get that F-150 jacked up on tires, right? Maybe that's not you. I'm finally going to get that promotion or that job. I'm finally going to get that house I've always wanted, which God may open up those doorways. But I'm telling you, there's some rewards through praying with our Heavenly Father that surpass all of that. That no matter what car you drive, what house you're in, what is going on in your life, God can give you the reward of saying, hey, I will give you peace in that situation. God, I will give you strength through the hardest time in your life. He's saying, hey, I will reward you, and I will bring you just people who will come up to you and speak encouragement to you when you maybe feel alone. God is saying, I'm aligning all these different things, and reward can mean different aspects, and rewards can look different ways. But God is saying, hey, there is this amazing transaction that happens. We go before our Creator, and God is saying, hey, I will download this into you, and it's much bigger than even material things. It's much bigger than what our hands can touch. He is saying this spiritual transaction begins to happen in our life. And then Jesus gets a little practical. And he says, hey, when you pray, here's how I want you to pray. And if you look all throughout the Bible, there is tons of verses, tons of scripture on prayer and looking to pray. But there is one spot where Jesus says, okay, when you pray, I want you to pray like this. Now, when you go and have this transaction with your Heavenly Father, I want you to pray this way. And this is the only time he sort of gives us this format. And I can just sense the disciples as he's seeing God pray, and they begin to lean in a little bit and go, okay, Jesus, you're going to teach us how to talk to our Heavenly Father. You're going to teach us this transaction that we can have between our Heavenly Father. And so they lean in, and Jesus begins to teach them here. And if you grew up in church, you could probably recite this, right? It says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And maybe you've heard that prayer before. Maybe you've had it on a piece of wall before. But Jesus is saying, hey, when we come before and we start to pray with our Heavenly Father, I'm giving you this moment where you can stop and realize how I want to communicate with you. And the first thing he stops and he says, our Father in heaven. This is powerful. I don't know what mental image comes to your mind when you see the word Father. Because I think for each individual, it can mean something different. I think our earthly Father can help shape that a little bit and begin to paint a picture of what this relationship is like. But God is saying, hey, I want you to understand that I am your good Father. And if you look at the word Father in the Bible, a lot of times it is translated exactly into Abba. And if you know what Abba means, if you look in the original language, it means actually daddy. And when we think about Father, sometimes it's this big, grandiose thing, which that is a picture of God, but then we have this intimate picture of Abba, which means daddy. And I have the blessing and the honor of having four kids, and when they have to come home, some of my favorite times at home, as soon as I walk through the door, and then little feet hit the ground, like... Right, they're coming up the door, and their mouths are just smiling. And what do they say? Daddy, right? Because daddy. And they run up, and they give me a hug. And then I experience them like, oh, yes, like, how you doing? What's up? Like, and having that moment. Because we have this relationship. They feel like they can come up to me and say, daddy, here's what happened in school today. You won't believe it. Mama, let me play the iPad. This won't happen, right? Like, all this. They just start to boom, 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 play, and begin to talk. God is saying, I want that kind of relationship. I want you to realize that when we stop and when we pray to God, we first can say, hey, our Father. And God is our good, good Father. And if you read here in the beginning of it, it says, hey, I know what you need even before you say it. Even before you probably even know that you need it, but I want the respect and the relationship side to say, hey, still bring that to me. I want to hear it from your lips. I want to hear it from your mind. I want to have that relationship with you where we come to God and say, Father, Daddy, I love you so much. This next word, he says, hallowed be thy name, right? I remember as a kid seeing that hallowed be thy name. I'm like, Halloween? Like, what's going on here? Hallowed be thy name. And he's saying that hallowed is holy. Separate, that we realize that who we are talking to is a holy and precious God. that we don't have to come before him and fear of what he's going to do to us, but the fear of awe. That God, at any moment, you can do anything. Nothing is too big for you. Everything we bring before you in prayer, God, you can handle, you can take care of, you can sustain, you can speak into us, you can build us up, you can hold us up, and you can push us through. You can make it happen every step of the way. That's who you are, God. I lift your name up. Hallowed be thy name. And can you imagine just I was studying this, and I went back and said, okay, God. And I kind of realigned my prayer life a little bit. Because sometimes we can get in a routine where we just jump in and go, God, can you do this for me? God, I have this going on. God, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. And I just took a step back. And I'm telling you, it's so good. And God gives us a reward. And when we stop back and go, God, you know what? You are my good Father. God, you are so amazing. You love me so much that you died for me. That you left heaven and came down to earth. And God, you are so holy. You are so mighty. You are so precious. You are so incredible, God. You are so great. You split the Red Sea. You made the blind see. All of this, we get this amazing picture of how holy God is. And it makes us step back and it humbles us in saying, God, I need you. I need your presence in my life. And then we get to move forward even in our prayers. Jesus is saying, hey, this is not so that we can move God and say, hey, God, this is what I want to do. I'm going to try to get you closer to what I want to do. This aligns our heart to the will of God. It aligns our heart to what God wants for our life. And it gives us a clear picture of a good heavenly Father. And then he continues, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we step back and go, you know what, God? I got so much on my plate. I got so much going on. But I want you to know that I want your will, not my will today, God. What you want to happen today, what you want to accomplish in my life. Like, I have a list. I have a plan, like I do, right? Well, a lot of us probably do. And we say, God, this is what I want to happen. But for us to step back and go, God, but if you want something different, God, you know what's best because you are my good Father. God, you are mighty. You are holy. You are my creator. You know everything about me, God. And I surrender my will over to you. It is yours, God. I want you to guide me and direct me. And then he continues, says, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And he's saying, hey, I'm coming before God with my needs. God, I need this daily connection with you. And then he says, hey, God, please forgive me of my sins so that I can even have the power to forgive others because you have now forgiven me. And then he continues and ends there. And he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Because we need strength to not fall into temptation. We talked about last week when Jesus was in Matthew chapter 4 and how the word of God was his defense and his offense. And we use prayer and we're saying, God, give us strength not to fall into temptation, to be led astray, but to have strength to go your way, God. And so I have this little acronym and I got it from a pastor a while back, but it's been an easy way to help me remember this, easy way to help reprogram my mind that when I come before my Heavenly Father, I can stop and say, God, this is how I want to pray to you. And it starts off right here and it says, we're going to break it down. This is DSA, and it starts with D here. You guys still with me? Yes, all right, great. I'm just making sure we're rolling, right? That starts with D, and it's declare God's greatness. Declare God's greatness. And Jesus starts and he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm declaring your greatness, your awe, your incredible. And then he goes into S and he says, hey, I'm surrendering to his will. I'm surrendering to his will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, God. Your will be done. And then A, acknowledge your dependence. Acknowledge our dependence. And then he breaks it down in three ways that we acknowledge our dependence. He says provision. He says give us today our daily bread. Did you know that God knows every need that you and I have? And how incredible is it this, that God says that, hey, when you pray, bring that need before me. But if you will seek me with your whole heart, everything else will be given unto you. that when we come to God and we're saying, hey, God, when my will is aligned with your will and my heart and my mind is walking with you, now I receive that reward of provision, right? That every step I take, you are going to be right there with me, God. You have promised never to leave me nor forsake me. I'm walking into the darkest valley of the moment of my life, God, but you saying you are here with me, not only with me, but you are giving me provision to make it through. You will provide my every need. He is saying, I provide the birds in the air and the flowers and the animals. If I provide for them, how much more do I want to provide for you? And we get to trust him in that moment and say, God, this is my need. This, and he gives us that provision. And then we come before him and we stop and go, God, I've sinned against you. God, I want to give that sin to you. God, this is what's going on. There is power in confessing our sin to God. There is power in saying, God, this is where I fall short. And I know that you make up the difference through the blood on the cross, God, and our Heavenly Father, but I'm giving that to you, God, and you give me that freedom. And then when we experience that, hey, I have been set free, I have been forgiven, now I can forgive others because Christ first forgave me. And the last one he talks about, protection. Our God gives us that protection. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. He protects our mind, protects our heart. Gives us the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. And he protects our heart, protects our life, God. Lead us not into temptation, God, but I'm coming before you. And we may look at this and going, okay, if every time I pray, I have to follow this exactly. No, I don't want to get a picture of that, but when we step back and we have that time, the beginning part, if you think about it, Jared's got another burger. So when you think about it, when we start with declare God's greatness, and then we move to surrender to his will, I bet you'll begin to notice that all of a sudden, after I declare how big he is, after I say, God, it's not what I want, but what you want, all of a sudden, when we get down here to acknowledge your dependence, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, God, now you've repositioned my mind. You've repositioned my heart a little bit. Now, these may even change a little bit. God may be even speaking to you and saying, hey, I want you to dream bigger. I want you to think about your family and what God can do inside of your life. I want you to think about your career. I want you to dream bigger because I am a big God. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? And we're remembering that. We're declaring God's greatness. And then we surrender to his will. And then when we surrender to his will, we may realize like, whoa, God, that when I was pursuing that was out of selfish ambition, God. And God may say, I want you to lay that down. And I want you to pick this up. I remember my bachelor's degree is in early childhood education, and I started teaching in the fourth grade, and I walked in, and I only taught 1 year, and the entire year, my heart was just being pulled to being a pastor. My heart was being pulled to being a minister of the gospel, and it felt like every time I kept trying to get further in my career path, I kept talking to people like, oh, I can move up, and we're talking about this, talking about administration, all that kind of stuff, and as I kept taking that step, it was like the Holy Spirit was like, Daniel, do you want your will, or do you want my will? And I remember the day I took my letter of resignation, the first year teaching. It was February. And I brought it into my principal. And it was funny because she walked up and she said, let me shut my door. You don't come to my office very often. So she shut the door and we sat down at the table. I said, I just want to turn in my letter of resignation. I believe God's calling me into ministry, full-time ministry. She's like, well, do you have a job lined up? No. You know, that moment I'm like, I don't advise that. But I just told her, I said, I just really feel like God has called me, and every time I try to move away, I feel like I'm trying to pursue my will. And I believe this is what God wants for me. And those prayers begin to reprogram our hearts to saying, God, it's what you want. It is your will. I will follow what you want for me in my life. And at that moment, this peace came into my heart. This peace came into my soul. Even though I was walking into the most uncertain time of my life, God is saying, yes, doesn't your soul feel good when we walk in obedience? Doesn't your soul feel good when we finally surrender to his will? And I believe there is something about obedience that gives us so much rest for our soul. That we know that, hey, it may look like chaos, it may look like uncertainty, but if I know I am obedient and walking in the will of God, oh, you can bring the storms, God, because I know he is with me. I know the holy and righteous God is with me in this moment. And then we come before God and we say, hey, this is what is before me. I want to read you this last verse here. This last verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and 18. And then we're going to close and we're going to sing another song together. You guys still doing all right out there? All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. If you want to memorize a verse and walk around like, boom, I got a verse memorized. I'm about to give you some ones that you can just, right here. Verse 16, it says, rejoice when? When? Rejoice always. That when I just love this about how Jesus taught us to pray, that we always have something to rejoice about. When our life is falling apart, we can look back and go, woo, look how good my God is. Let me just tell you how great He is, how mighty He is. I have a good Father who is there for me. And Paul is teaching us here to rejoice always and pray without ceasing. Always pray. Go before God with everything that is on our mind, everything that is on our heart. There was nothing too small or too big to bring to the feet of our Savior. He's saying, I care about you. I want to know every detail. I want to know every moment. I want to know every hurt, every struggle. Bring it before me. And then he says, give thanks in all circumstances. And what kind of circumstances? All circumstances that we get to come before God. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I just believe that there may be some of us here today that may be wondering, God, what is your will for my life? God, what is your plan? What steps should I take? And my encouragement, my heart today is that everybody will take this step right here to begin to practice to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all circumstances. Because in that moment, while we were doing that, you know that you were in the will of God. You know that you were walking hand in hand with God. And I believe that He will reward us for those moments to step back and go, God, I want to spend a few moments with you. I'm going to find a quiet place, and maybe I got to get up before my kids get up or right when they go to bed. I'm just going to just spend a few moments. God, you are amazing. I love you. Thank you for being in my life. God, I rejoice that you love me enough to die on the cross for me, and you sent me for Jesus. I'm rejoicing in that. And God, help me to pray always. God, I pray that, and I just thank you. I thank you for the house I walked into. I thank you for the car I walked into. God, I thank you for the blessing of my family. I thank you for the moments that you grew me in the hard times. And all of those moments, we get this perspective that God rewards us with supernatural peace. Now, my heart is for every single person to experience this kind of relationship with God. Oh, it's contagious. It's profound. It's life-changing. And I believe it's generational. I believe that no matter where you go, people will begin to see that you and I are different because we have this relationship with Him. It'll activate something in your relationship with God that you've never experienced before. And so as we pray today, there may be somebody in the room that maybe you've never given your life to Christ before, and a lot of this is so out of the box because you've never actually started a relationship with God. And God's Word says that, hey, at the beginning of the relationship is us saying, you know what, God? I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I am sinful, and I'm separated from you, God. And when you died on the cross, you paid my punishment. Romans tells us that for the wages of sin is death. The Old Testament, they were bringing just the sacrifice after sacrifice. And Jesus said, no, I'm coming for the sacrifice for sins for all men. I'm coming for your sins from yesterday, today, and forevermore. The blood of Jesus, when He died on the cross, covered your sins from your past, from the moment, the present, and the future, that you and I get to walk in complete freedom. And we can always come to God and say, God, thank you for forgiving me. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for setting me free. No matter what's going on in my life, I am free right here in this moment. And I get to say, God, you are a good Heavenly Father, and I surrender my will to you. Maybe your first act of surrender is giving your life to Christ this morning. And so I just want to pray for us. If we could all bow our heads and begin to pray, and maybe you've never started a relationship with Christ, my prayer is that you would do that today. And I just want to say a prayer with you. And you can say this prayer to God. this moment of surrender, that you want to start a relationship with Him, and it goes something like this: Dear Heavenly Father, God, I know that I'm living in sin and I'm disconnected from You. God, I ask that You save me and to help me to be more like You, Jesus. I pray that You change my life. I pray that You show me every step that I should take. Thank You for saving me. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, maybe for the first time this morning, my heart is that you would take that connect card and you would fill it out and say, today I decided to follow Jesus. Today I gave my life to Him. Because you aren't meant to walk this earth alone. We want to walk with you. We want to show you, say, hey, this is the next step that you can take. This is what God wants to do inside of your life and inside of your heart. And I just want to pray for the rest of us as a church, that we would surrender to His will, that we would believe in and take God at His word and believe that we serve a mighty God, that He can continue to breathe life into us. And I had it on my heart this morning as I was praying that God just placed in my heart that you need to know that there is the Creator of the universe who loves you. That's all you needed to hear today. But Jesus loves you. God loves you. No matter what your past looks like, no matter what you've done, no matter what is going through your mind right now in this moment, Jesus loves you. He wants to have that relationship with you. He loves you so much. And the moment we realize that and live in that, it's when He continues and begins to change our lives. And He gives us this supernatural strength and power and peace and rest. And He is saying, come to me. Come to me. Because He is here for you. Let's pray together. God, thank you for loving us. God, thank you for granting us the Holy Spirit when we give our lives to you, God. And I believe the Holy Spirit is alive and moving even here today, this morning, that you are burning inside of our hearts, God. And I pray that we'll answer that call. I pray that you give us boldness and courage, whatever step that is, God. And we'll surrender our life to you. And we'll take those steps before you, God. That we'll take this home and we'll make this a practice for our life, that we will declare no greatness, God. We'll surrender our will, we'll acknowledge our dependence. God, and I pray that we will seek your reward. I pray that whoever walked in here this morning, maybe they're carrying the weight of the world as we started this message off, God, and I just pray they leave from this place encouraged. I pray that they know that they have you by their side, you living inside of them, God, and no matter what they are facing when they walk out those doors, I pray for supernatural strength. I pray for peace. I pray for rest, God. I pray that you will move inside of their lives. I pray that you give them a dream, God. I pray that you give them provision. I pray that you continue to forgive sins, God. I pray that you give us protection from the evil one. I pray that the enemy will be bound in Jesus' name and your power will reign on this earth, God. That I believe we can see revival today in 2019, but it starts when our hearts realize how holy you are, God, and when we surrender to your will. God, we love you so much. Thank you for the life that you have given us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. And Stephon and the band is going to lead us through this song, and it's an incredible song of reminding us about the gospel, how yet it may be simple in words, but yet so profound. And so I want to sing this together as a church, as a body of Christ, just coming together and believing who God is. Let's sing together.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.